Hello, this is Philip the dog from Disorder, and you can hear us on Turmoil on Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. on 90.1 FM.
FM, Turmoil, with music from Disorder, and that's called More Than Fight. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different than in the past, specially mailed in, courtesy of the British and U.S. Postal Service. We have an interview with Tim of Children of the Revolution Records, and I sent some questions over to Tim that were of interest to me, and hopefully it'll be of interest to you, the listeners, about the label. And just in the past year, year and a half or so, Children of the Revolution has sort of taken off and become one of the biggest releasing labels of punk underground music in England in a long time, since the late 70s, early 80s. And I just wanted to explore this phenomenon a little bit more and ask Tim a few questions about the label itself and about him and how he got it started and how it's running and the groups that are on it, how they got involved and things like that. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So we'll be featuring not only bits and pieces of the interview with Tim, but also the music of Children of the Revolution. We're going to start off with a 45 by a band called Lunatic Fringe. The 7-inch EP is called Cringe with the Fringe, and we're going to hear a song called Flesh and Blood here on Turmoil.
Jungle, I'm afraid I'm lonely in the shed.
Music from Lunatic Fringe here on Turmoil. Flesh and Blood from their EP Cringe with the Fringe. If you're just tuning in, tonight's a special show for Children of the Revolution Records. So now we're going to be talking with Tim, who owns and runs Children of the Revolution. We're going to be asking him a few questions, as well as listening to some music off of the label. They have about 4 or 5 7-inches and a few albums out, and we're going to be playing our way through the interview with some of the music released. So, to start the show off, we might as well start with the first question. And just to remind some of you the difference in quality of sound, this was done on tape. So that's why my voice sounds a little bit clearer than Tim's. And why don't we just start off right now with the first question to Tim. Tim, Children of the Revolution is a fairly new company. What made you decide to start a new record label?
Well, originally what happened was, I mean, I was just, at the time before I started doing this, I was doing a fanzine called Children of the Revolution, but that was just like a small-time thing. I mean, the last one I sold 1,000 of, which isn't bad as fanzines go, but I wasn't actually sort of into doing it as a business or anything like that. I inherited some money off my granddad when he died, so we've got a really small family, so there's only 4 of us for the money to go to, so I got £2,000-£3,000 off that, and I blew 1,000 of it originally, sort of enjoying myself and abusing my body, which I began to think wasn't such a wise idea. I thought I could make it last and make something more enjoyable out of it. Disorder wanted to do an LP. They originally, Disorder Records was a sort of subsidiary of Riot City. They weren't actually allowed in Riot City because Vice Squad had partial shares in it, and they hated Disorder that much they wouldn't actually let them on it. So, but the bloke who runs Riot City ran Disorder Records with them, just really under a different name, but they wanted to do it themselves so they could A, do the records cheaper, B, have total control over it, and C, get all the money rather than a proportion of the money. So me and another friend of theirs, friend of ours, lent them the money to do that, and also I'd been sort of more into this sort of thing, did the complicated bits of getting the record out, you know, most of the promotion and the fiddly little bits which they couldn't be bothered to do, and I sort of thought, well, this is quite fun, I could spend my money doing something constructive like this. So I just sort of started off. There's a government scheme here, one of the many schemes to combat unemployment, and basically you have to have £1,000 and a clever idea, and they just give you £40 a week for a year and a bit of advice. There's not much fuss about it, but anyway, I got that, I've just finished that.
Okay, you have the money from the government. When did you first start putting out records?
Well, the first record was the KOCK LP, which came out in October, November 1984, last year. But as I said, I was involved in the Disorder LP before that, even though that wasn't on call, that was on Disorder Records. And since then we've put out 2 more LPs, 5 EPs and a 12-inch. And there's at least that many and more on the way.
Where did you get the name Children of the Revolution from?
Well, originally it came from a T-Rex song, which you ought to hear if you haven't already, because it's a fucking classic. Oops, sorry, not allowed to say that. It's a classic. But it came to me in a roundabout way because I'm really bad at making decisions. I was looking for a top for fanzine. This is going back a few years. And I was flicking through this British fanzine called Vague, which is getting quite big now. You might have heard of it. And it had this story, whatever, I can't remember what, but the title block was Children of Revolution with these nice little pictures of little punk rockers and weirdos all around. I thought, oh, that's good. That's snappy. And the title block's already made for me. I'll just pinch that and stick it on the front. So I used that for the cover of Children of Revolution number 1. And then later on, after that, I heard the T-Rex song and it's dead good. So it fits in quite well. I think there's a lot of ways you can read Children of the Revolution, like the phrase. It's quite an interesting phrase.
Okay, we're going to take another short musical break here from another group on Children of the Revolution. This band is called Political Asylum. They have a 3-track EP called Winter, and this is entitled Do They Care here on Turmoil. Political Asylum here on Turmoil with Do They Care from the EP Winter on Children of the Revolution Records. My guest tonight is Tim of Children of the Revolution, COR Records, and we're posing a few questions to him and featuring some of the records that are out on that label. Moving on to our next question, sort of how did the bands get attracted to the label? Did you actively go out and seek the bands, or was it just a case of the band approaching you to help put out their record?
Well, it varies. Sometimes, I might get sent a tape. I mean, I get sent a fair amount of tapes, most of which are dross. Sometimes I just go to a gig. So I'll go around and travel to gigs a lot, especially with, Disorder and all bands from Bristol. I sort of, maybe travel with them, go to a gig in the back of the van or whatever, and then some band supports and I'll see them. KSK I knew. Lunatic Fringe, I knew they're friends of mine. Exposers, I hadn't actually heard. I asked them to do a record before. I actually heard them because I read an interview with them and I liked their attitude. And I was really impressed by the way they were speaking. I thought, right, fuck it, I'll do a record with them. Anyway, Stupids, KCK played a gig with them, brought their tape back, which I thought was ace. Political Asylum, I saw at a gig in Belfast with Disorder, a big festival in Belfast. And I was impressed by them. Potential Threat. One of their mates actually wrote to me and sent me a tape, which I thought was pretty good. What else we got? Onslaught were a local band, so I vaguely knew them. Chitty Grand Motherfuckers, I heard their split tape with I Refuse It, which is what the LP came from. AOA, I heard their demo. I can't remember how. I think they must have sent it to me. The upcoming two, Sacrilege. Who did I hear of Sacrilege? Can't honestly remember now, I must have heard a tape of them. And Vicious Circle, Albie from Vicious Circle wrote to me and sent me a tape of them.
You mentioned Exposers earlier on. Why don't we give a listen to a song from them called Manipulator from the Force Fed the Truth EP. Exposers here on Turmoil. FM Turmoil with Exposes and Manipulator. On Children of the Revolution Records, our special guest tonight is Tim, who runs Children of the Revolution. Now, the Exposes have a few of their songs on other labels. Is that a fairly common thing for English bands to do?
I don't think it's particularly an English thing. I think the situation now is reversed a bit with England and America. Say 1980, 81, where there were big punk labels like No Future and Riot City and Cherry Red and so on. When punk sales were a lot bigger over here, I think there were probably more
American bands struggling to get records out because it wasn't so big or whatever. I'm only guessing here. But at the moment now, because there are no big punk labels really left, certainly not dealing with the hardcore scene, that it's a case of like everyone knocking it. I mean, like, say for instance, the Exposers, you know, they've done stuff over the years, and like they've done something with some Wheeler dealer, and they weren't satisfied with it, and then they've done something on their own, and then someone like me's come along and done it, and then they re-release a single on their own sort of thing. I mean, it's just, you just take whatever you can. I mean, at the moment there's a lot of bands putting out singles on their own, because if you're a starting up band, it's not economical for record companies to put singles out. I've lost a lot of money on singles. They're really just promotional material, singles. So if you're a starting out band and you want to get heard, you've really got to do the single yourself. So that's why that's happening. It's a good thing as well. I mean, like, certain record companies do get things across to different areas, especially when you're dealing with countries.
Is it very difficult to put out a record in England?
No, anyone could do it. If you've got a few hundred pounds, you could put out a record anyway. In fact, it's probably a lot easier over here. It's certainly a lot simplified because it's that much more of a grassroots independent record business. I mean, like, there's Revolver in Bristol, who are a distributor, and they're part of the Cartel, which is a collection of people like Revolver. There's about eight different small distributors, and together they cover the whole of the UK. For instance, Revolver down here covers the southwest of England, where we live, and South Wales, and then Rough Trade will cover London and the southeast, and so on. And they cooperate with each other and cover the whole of the UK, and then they export as well. And they're not rip-off people, you know. They're dead honest people who are very interested in helping people like me and bands get things out, even though it's hard. The pressing companies are better. English pressings are better, and they will take the bigger pressing. The pressing companies that I deal with will also do like stuff which gets in the charts as well. So like, they're good quality pressing. Recording studios are a hell of a lot cheaper, judgeable what I've seen. Comparisons of recording costs in England and the US. I mean, like, you can record something in England for pocket money, you know.
Here in the States, many bands print their own records. Is the same true for English bands?
Yeah. I mean, like, core is not that much more than bands printing their own records. You know, what I'm doing is, it's definitely... Children Revolution Records is definitely not a record company in the same vein as your average record. I mean, I'm certainly not the same as Clay or Riot City or No Future. I mean, they are run by older blokes with offices and Volvo estate cars and nice houses who, are into the music to a certain degree, but also into the profit to a fair degree and what have you. And I actually aren't in touch. I mean, like, I just turned 20. I'm a consumer as well as someone who's doing it. I buy the records, you know. The bands that I put out on core are bands that I would like to have bought the records of myself. So, and also everything's run on such a grassroots basis here that it's not that much more than really than a band printing records, except that I've got certain advantages which bands haven't got. Experience and the contacts to be able to get the records pressed for credit and what have you.
Let's give a listen now to... another band on the COR label. They're called The Stupids, and this is called Skid Row from them here on Turmoil.
Skid Row, a weird place you can't go. To my side, to Skid Row.
90.1 FM Turmoil with the Stupids and Skid Row. Special guest tonight is Tim here on Turmoil. We've been asking him some questions. Going to continue now with something that's probably a question to all is, what affords the bands the most exposure? Is it active advertising by the labels? Is it word of mouth? Going out and playing shows, does that help a lot? Or does radio airplay play a role in getting the bands the exposure they need?
Well, this varies from country to country, I'd say. Active advertising by the labels isn't that big. I certainly don't do a lot. It varies a lot. I mean, for instance, that especially in the US is another thing, because the US still has labels in the punk hardcore scene which are capable of making a fair profit. This isn't really case in England anymore. We can't really make money out of the punk hardcore records in the UK at the moment because it's not big enough. So I think in the US, for instance, you could, if I was a US label, I'd do more advertising. The bands would be playing more shows because there'd be more places to play, and the bands would get radio play. I mean, you do not get radio play in the UK. If you're lucky, what you will get, a good UK band, is a few plays on their local radio station, you know, a bit of a novelty. Here's a funny little local band, don't they play fast, sort of job, you know? And if you're very lucky, you'll get airplay on national radio.
I mean, bear in mind, Patriots in Bristol, which is
where I live here, city of 500,000, we've got two local radio stations, one commercial, one BBC local, and one national pop rock station. This national pop rock station has one show 3 days a week, total of 6 hours, which plays everything in the independent sort of bracket. So he'll generally play maybe 10 hardcore records a week, most of which are foreign at the moment. So that's the sort of airplay you're talking about, you know, it's hardly a lot.
On the subject of radio, what's the underground pirate radio stations like in England?
Well, obviously it doesn't broadcast to a lot of people. I used to help run a pirate station in Bristol, which didn't last very long. It's not easy to do. There's a few places where it's good. I know there's a good hardcore show in Liverpool. I'm not sure whether it's still going, but that was going quite well. That was 2 hours every Sunday in Liverpool and pirate there. I don't know whether there's anything in London. I'm not actually aware of anything on pirate stations in this country with decent punk or hardcore stuff. And I know in Amsterdam it's very good for that, and some parts of the continent. But like I said, English radio is very restricted.
Okay, let's get back to the music now. This is from Potential Threat with from their Brainwashed EP, also on COR Records, our feature label of this evening. And this is called Turn a Blind Eye from Potential Threat, here at 90.1 FM Turmoil. Turmoil with Potential Threat, Turn a Blind Eye, very political song from Potential Threat on Children of the Revolution Records. sort of reflective of the violence that's happening over in England nowadays. Which brings me to my next question to Tim of COR Records, our special guest this evening. Tim, do you feel that English and European bands are more aware in world affairs and are more likely to write about world affairs and world problems than their American counterparts?
I used to be a bit prejudiced about US bands. I used to get a bit pissed off because I used to think they were all like the Dickies or something, and sort of sang about nothing but skateboarding and pizzas. But I've been very impressed over the past couple of years when I've sort of like really begun to dig into the US bands. The amount of bands which do sing about more than that and sort of made me feel quite positive. I think the difference is that, and I've read this in numerous things, I've had correspondence about this with a lot of people, that basically your average punk in the US can be a lot more complacent because they more than likely have a job or are at school and have a fair bit of money. Even though you may not think so, you have in comparison to other countries. I mean, countries are relative. For instance, when I go to Italy, kids have less money than me and less jobs and what have you. But I get on with them on a basic level because we both have the same sort of backgrounds. I left school when I was 16 and I've hardly worked a day apart from doing this. I've only worked one day on a building site and that was it before I started doing core. So I've never had much money. I've most of the time been squatting or lived in pretty grotty flats, of all that sort of stuff. And it's the same with the kids in Italy and all. And I tend to get a bit pissed off with kids from countries where things are a lot better on the whole, who come out with stuff like, oh, I don't want to sing about politics, oh, what's it got to do with me, and all this sort of bullshit, simply because, I mean, like, I cannot cope with the idea of people driving to gigs in their dad's car. You know, this is completely beyond me. It's something which is like, you know, certainly rare over here, if not almost non-existent. And the idea of people driving to gigs in their dad's car, you know, with, like, loads of money for beer and, like, all this sort of thing is just it's beyond me. But anyway, like I said, you know, I'm impressed by the amount of people who have managed to get over that, even though I do tend to get a bit of stroppy coming from a left-wing family. My granddad was a socialist, so I tend to get ragged up about it.
Getting back to the last question, what do you see are some of the differences between English and American punk bands?
I think it's very useful, it's very complementary, I think, the feedback that can work between the two. Musically, at the moment, I'm more often than not into US bands. I wish I could hear a lot more, but I don't get the chance because I haven't got the money to get hold of them. But the musical proficiency and songwriting and everything of US bands at the moment is way ahead of UK bands. But on the other hand, UK bands keep it down to earth, certainly on a lyrical level. It's sometimes a bit too down to earth, but I think certainly, like, I mean, there is a tendency at the moment, like, for instance, in the UK press, Husker Du, Black Flag, Butthole Surfers, numerous other bands are being hyped to hell by the UK press and being made out to be a huge thing, sort of front page interviews a lot, you know. And so, like, there is I think the tendency in the US where the hardcore scene has become very big and possibly going very commercial could be held back, hopefully, by the down-to-earth UK-European sort of scene. And on the other hand, I think the UK-European scene needs a bit of a kick in the ass musically to get it off its ass and not sound like this, every band sounding the same, which is what it is at the moment. It's certainly happening in Europe. And it's beginning to happen in the UK. I've heard a couple of tapes recently which are dead good, of like brand new young bands. I think half the problem again is the age of the people, see, because the UK bands are still very young, whereas in the US you've got a lot of bands who are made up of people in their mid-20s, for instance, which is pretty rare here. Most of the people in their mid-20s here have, so as they put it, grown out of punk rock and tend to sneer at it and make all sorts of snide comments, and now I spend most of the time listening to all sorts of horrible music.
Going back to the music now, this is from the Permanent Scar split LP featuring the Italian bands I Refuse It and Cheetah Chrome Mother Bleepers on it. This was originally released on a cassette, and Tim decided to re-release it as an album on COR Children of the Revolution Records. We're going to hear something from I Refuse It here at 90.1 FM Turmoil.
Quello che puzza dai campi dei bambini sventrati che fanno una cosa brutta figura. Quando vuoi basta poi vicino a noi, eccolo parte documentato del loro insediamento.
I Refuse It here on Turmoil 90.1 FM. My name is Steve Kreitzer with you this Wednesday evening. And on tape, we have Tim of COR, Children of the Revolution Records. Let me give you the address right now if you want to write to them. It's Children of the Revolution Records, Box 333, 110, Cheltenham, Cheltenham Road, Bristol 6, England. That's COR Records, Box 333, 110, Cheltenham Road, Bristol 6, England. And write attention, Tim. And if you want a catalog of his records or you just want to write to him, that's the address to write to. I'm going to ask Tim now to give us some updates on a few of the bands on the label. Why don't we start off with Chaos UK, what they're doing now.
Going to Japan in 2 weeks. Possible split 12-inch with a Japanese band called Uto. Chaos has bought a bass for the first time in ages, but they still haven't got any amps. That's about it, really, on them. Lunatic Fringe lost their drummer, looking for a new one. Exposers have split up, I'm sorry to say. Stupids are at this moment, I think it was actually yesterday and the day before, recording an LP which is either going to be called Peruvian Vacation or something else, and I think Tommy told me they want to put a couple of Peruvian hardcore bands on it guesting on the LP, and that's straight up, that's not, I'm not winding you up or anything, that is the truth. Political Asylum, not doing a lot, still gigging quite a bit locally. They want to get the EP pressed in Germany. They've just had an interview in Max Rock and Roll, which you might have seen. potential threat. Recorded a few new things, not doing a lot. I think they're suffering from a bit of the bog down in the mud, not doing anything. Oh, everything's so terrible, so don't bother doing anything. British disease, which is happening. And AOA the same. The singer left after serving a sentence in detention centre, which is a huge, hard, get-on-the-head treatment place for young, hard offenders.
AOA here on Turmoil with Who Are They Trying to Con from their 12-inch EP of the same name on COR Records. Tim, what's AOA stand for?
I honestly don't know. I've been told, but I've forgotten. It's really embarrassing for me, so I really should know, but they did tell me and I forgot, and they told me again and I forgot.
Okay, back to some updates on more bands that you're associated with. How about Onslaught?
Becoming huge, selling lots of records, getting interviews in metal magazines all over the place, and probably be signing to Metal Blade or Music for Nations within a few months, knowing them.
Moving back to some of the political question I asked earlier, do the bands have to have a specific political or philosophical background that matches with yours before you actually decide to put a record out of theirs?
No, not at all. as I said, I just put out stuff that I like. Obviously, there are certain limits, and because I have certain views, very strong views on many things, and obviously I'm going to be more biased towards them. So if you put two tapes in front of me, and I only have the money and ability and time to release one, I'm obviously going to be more biased towards the one which is lyrically better. But on the other hand, if it's lyrically brilliant and musically crap, I can't put it out because it won't sell, you know, so that plays a part in it. I certainly don't believe in laying down the law and saying, well, this is an anarcho label and we will only put out anarcho records or whatever, anything like that. I put out music that I like. I don't listen to any I don't have a morally sound record collection that is vetted for its lyrical correctness. I listen to everything, anything. And I think most other people do, so I don't consider that plays a part in the record label, even though I would like to promote certain things with running the label.
What new releases does COR plan to release in the future?
It was the Sacrilege 6-track mini LP, which will be out well before this comes out on the air. That is a very metallic, heavy record. It's got a girl singing. The lyrics are very good. Certainly no songs about Satan and genitals or anything like that involved in it. There's the Vicious Circle LP, which is the Australian band. After that, there's the Depraved LP, or a new English band, dead good, and sort of on the lines of Subhumans, Instigators, Stupids, fast stuff. Not thrash, but fast. There's Angle Watt, a Norwegian band, very weird, but still raw. There's more from Depraved in the new year, and more from Sacrilege as well. There's hopefully a Declino Negazioni split LP. They're two good Italian bands. Declino have actually split up, but still releasing it. There's a lot of possibilities. There's the Stupids LP, like I said. There's a compilation I'm working on as well. And there's a lot of things floating around in the air which no one's sure about at the moment. But they're the ones up to now.
Did you have any specific goals when you started COR Records? Have you met them yet?
Well, apart from changing the world, becoming hugely rich and donating all my money, no, I didn't set out with any goals. Not real ones. You obviously dream like anyone else dreams. I mean, I would very much like to make a lot of money and use a lot of money for purposes. For instance, now with the office that I'm in at the moment is squatted. It's not permanent. It's under threat of demolition and eviction, what have you. I'd like a permanent place. I'd like to get printing equipment for people to use to make fanzines, layout equipment. I'd like to buy a club. I'd like to start a treatment centre for junkies. I'd like to... I mean, the list is endless, you know, what you could do with the money, you know, if I won the pools, what if I was a millionaire sort of situation, you know. But, yeah, I think we've achieved them. We've put out good music at reasonable prices without ripping anyone off. I think that's all you can ask for from the record label, really.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Tim from COR, Children of the Revolution Records. The... address once again, Children of the Revolution Records, Box 333, 110 Cheltenham, Cheltenham Road, Bristol 6, England. If you want to write him a letter, let him know what you think, do that. I'd like to thank Tim for taking the time out to speak to us and sending the tape back, and for supplying Turmoil with some of the records, actually all the records you heard tonight, and you've probably been listening to the past few months or so from COR Records, and we'll be getting a lot more from them in the future too. Turmoil with Disorder, giving us the song Complete Disorder. Before that, we heard from Vicious Circle, No Guarantee, also on COR Records, and Cheetah Chrome and the Mother Bleepers gave us Barbed Wire World from the Permanent Scar Split LP. That wraps up this evening's show. My name is Steve Kreitzer. I'll be back again with you next Wednesday night. Once again, I'd like to thank Tim for taking the time out to do this interview with me this evening. Going to end up tonight's show with the long-awaited album from the Dead Kennedys called Frankenchrist, just out. Here's Chicken Farm from that album here on WUSB Stony Brook.
At the bottom, bartering for food for another day. Rifle shots ring out behind the crumbly buildings, executions have begun. Wrong in the square today is broken bodies, lights that get clean if you're first and quick. Rifles in their pockets, feet off the clothes, where a cell when you wash out the flood. Run, my little brother, run to the chicken farm. It's calling, you might even find a one. We're going down to the chicken farm. We're going down to the chicken farm. We're going down to the chicken farm. We're going down to the chicken farm.
Without a shadow, the breast of a homeland. A new world tries to spit us out.